Good morning. This passage from Ephesians chapter 2 is really one of my favorites probably in all of Scripture. And in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, what he's doing is he's writing to them about several things. One of those things, though, is unity and being unified in the church. Basically, in the Ephesian church, there were two kinds of Christians. There were those who were Jewish Christians, people that converted from the Jewish faith to Christianity. And there were those who were Gentiles, or probably Greek people, who converted from whatever, probably paganism, to Christianity. And those who came from a Jewish background were finding that they were having a difficulty in viewing and how to live with the laws of Moses, the commandments of the Old Testament, and with faith in Christ, the salvation offered to them in Christ. So essentially, they were kind of clouding the issue of what saves a person. Is it obedience to the law, or is it faith in Christ? And they kind of put the two together, at least in practice, so that there was this thought that you have to have not only faith in Christ to be saved, but you also have to obey the Old Testament to be saved. And the problem with this is that the Jewish Christians in the church were trying to tell the Gentile Christians that this is how you live. And so they were pushing the Gentiles, those who are Christians, to seek things like circumcision and to obey the food laws, eating kosher, things that were part of their culture but not part of the Gentiles. They were pressuring the Gentile Christians basically into converting into a Jewish Christianity, you could say. So in response to this, Paul puts words to paper, as he often does. Now, one of the key words that Paul uses in this Ephesians passage is the Greek word peripateo. You can go ahead and say that with me. It's lots of fun. Peripateo. And the word literally means to walk. Peripateo means to walk. And we first see it used in verse 2 of this Ephesians passage. I'll read verses 1 and 2 to you again. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once peripateo, in which you once walked, or, as our translation says, in which you once lived. For Paul, walking in sin means you're basically a dead man walking. Modern terminology and modern TV and movies, you're a zombie. Now, if you don't know what a zombie is it's the walking dead. It is a person who has died, but yet somehow, some way, their corpse continues to walk about the face of this earth. In zombie lore, it's basically because there's a virus out in humanity, and this virus consumes a person's body until they're dead, but then it keeps their body animated to go and consume the flesh of others, and to spread the virus further. It's a grotesque and violent kind of film genre, but that's kind of what Paul is talking about. In fact, the most popular zombie TV show right now is called The Walking Dead. And for Paul, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You are the walking dead. This is how he talks to this church in Ephesus. They are the walking dead. This is how Paul starts his discussion on unity, really. He looks at the church and says, listen, all of you, you were all once the walking dead. You were all of you once in the same spot, dead in your trespasses and sins, consumed by the virus of your sin. Doesn't matter who you are, Jew or Gentile. All of us were once walking, as Paul says, in the passions of our flesh. following the desires of our flesh and senses or mind, and were once by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. Paul tells us in Ephesians that we were once all bad, all as in a collective of all people, and all as in just yourself, body and mind, bad. Flesh and senses, body and mind, in our very nature, we were children of disobedience and wrath. And wrath is not only descriptive of what we were, but descriptive of what we deserve. So whatever disunity the Ephesians were experiencing, Paul really puts it all in perspective. All of you all are the walking dead. All of you are slaves to the lusts of your flesh, the desires of your mind and body, just like everyone else who has ever walked the face of the earth. You are all zombies, totally corrupt, unable to become alive again. Paul tells his people, they have all come from the same place. No matter what differences they had or we have with anyone, we all entered this world as sinners, and we all have the same destination in mind. We also have the same need. However, Paul doesn't leave it there. Being unified by our sin really doesn't help much in Paul's letter, so he tells them what else they're unified under. So he turns to them and he gives them a big but. It's the biggest but in all of Scripture, really. There's lots of big buts in Scripture. This is one of the biggest. And I cannot lie, it's a good one. Some others might deny, but this is a very good but. This but of Paul's really should get us excited because it is the gospel. This is the gospel right here. Listen again to verses 3 and 4. Paul says, we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. And then verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We were dead, but God. We were unified in death, but God, in Christ Jesus, made us alive, and He did so purely out of God's grace. It is all about that grace, about that grace, about that grace. No troubles. This is God's point to His readers. If you were unified really in only one thing, it was a big thing. You were unified in death. But now you are unified in an even bigger, more glorious, more amazing thing. You are unified in life in Christ. And just to make sure that we who are saved don't take this the wrong way, don't take this gift of the Lord's and make it really about us and about the things we do or the works we do, thereby causing further disunity, Paul nails it down even further. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this being faith, is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. This passage tells us that God is rich in mercy, rich in grace, and He gifts us our salvation out of His marvelous riches. We have nothing to brag or boast in. We can say nothing about our good works. Our obedience towards God is a good thing, but it doesn't save us. Paul tells the Ephesians, circumcision doesn't save you. Eating according to the food laws of the Old Testament doesn't save you. For us, being a pastor doesn't save you. Being a good servant in the church doesn't save you. Working in soup kitchens, going on mission trips doesn't save you. Faith in Christ is what saves you. And Paul says, even that is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. As people saved by the grace of God through faith, we have many differences, but we have one great thing in common, and that is Jesus Christ for us. Look at verse 10. Paul says, "For we are what God has made us." Again, Paul uses a beautiful word here to describe what God has done for us. We aren't saved by our works. Rather, we are God's work. Other translations will say, "For you are God's workmanship." Literally, in Greek, it is, "You are God's poema," which is where we get the word poem. Paul tells us, you are God's poem. You are God's work of art, His creation, made with His own hands. It's not about your works, it's about God's work, and God has made you His piece of art. And in saving you through Jesus Christ, Paul continues that God has created you in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our peripateo, our way of walking, our way of living. We once walked in darkness. We once were the walking dead. But now we walk in the newly created life that God has fashioned for us, which He has planned for us since the beginning of all time. And it is all made possible through Jesus Christ, who was raised up on the pole so that you and I might look at Him and find life. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give You thanks that You have given us a new way to walk. And in doing so, You have done more than that. You have given us new life through Jesus Christ, who died for us and was raised for us. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to keep our eyes on the work that You have done for us and not what we do for others. But in that, Lord, help us to know that You have assigned us to do things, not as a way of saving ourselves, but as a way of serving You. We pray this in Your name. Amen.